Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast, coming to you from DraftKings Studios with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Week three, baby. It's time. It is our time to kick this thing off right and be ready to take down this main slate. Betts, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling alive, dude. I'm ready to go. It's a beautiful day here in Vermont. We have a fresh new main slate to talk about. We have struggled out of the gate with the first 2 weeks of the season, but that means our time is coming. And the week three, I feel like one of us is going to take down a GPP this weekend.
And just for new listeners, I need to know, is it snowing in Vermont?
Ooh, it is not. Yeah, last year the snow model had 100% hit rate. Actually, today it's very nice. It's like high 70s and sunny. I mean, it's a great day, but that could mean bad news for Derrick Henry in tournaments.
I feel like a lot of our listeners either don't know that you're in Vermont right now, or they don't know anything about Vermont. I know Jason is probably the most geographically challenged person on the planet in terms of a map. So I know where it is on a map. I understand that. Can you give our listeners one like jewel? What's one thing about Vermont that you're like, hey, this isn't too bad. I like it here.
Ooh, that's a good question. I like that. I think the thing that I like most about Vermont is the summer because, you know, you're up so far north, like here, like a hot day is like 78 degrees and everyone complains about it. They're like, oh my gosh, it's so hot today. Like we can't do anything. And meanwhile, I'm like, this is beautiful. This is perfect. I'm from Pennsylvania and it gets pretty warm there. I mean, not like you in Atlanta, but in the summers in Vermont, it's just gorgeous. However, the winters are brutal, very cold.
Yeah, I'm here in the dirty, dirty South and you know, it gets hot. We get full season, so the fall is going to be great, but it's just muggy a lot of the time. But I love the South. I've been here my whole life, so I don't mind it at all. If you're with us for the very first time, it's an awesome time to say, you know what, DFS, let's take this seriously. We really care about making DFS approachable. We call this DFS for the rest of us. And so if you are entering into DFS, if you're 2 weeks in, you're like, all right, I'm still learning this. This is great. We've actually had a couple of listeners message us and have some pretty big GPP wins. We also had someone that messaged me today and said, hey, my wife gave me $50. She said, here's $50. This is what you get on DFS. And you know who wears the pants in that relationship. I get it. I totally understand. But he turned it into $400 this past weekend in a tournament. So that's awesome that you can actually take your bankroll, no matter what size it is, and be able to increase it. And so I think that's super, super awesome no matter where you're at. But I wanted to start this off with a quick question before we get into our cash picks, before we talk about the games we want to stack and whatnot. This is a question that comes up a lot, and you referenced it last week, and it's come up again, but it's about late swap. And so I wanted to throw this out. This is a question I got on Twitter from Kendall Lowe. He said, can you explain late swap a little bit more? I've heard you guys talk about it. What's the point and what's the advantage? And I'll let you start, Betts.
Yeah, the whole theory behind late swap is that basically there's two slates within one main slate, right? We have the 1 o'clock games if you're on the East Coast, and then it's like the 4:05 or the 4:25 games. They're the late slate. So basically what this is referencing is like, you know, entering the week, everyone has access to the same information before the games start at 1 o'clock. But then once the games get going at 1 o'clock, you start to get more information about how your team is doing and how your players are performing. And let's say, for example, you play a really chalky player in the early slate, and he fails, he goes south, but you know that it's okay because everyone else is playing it. So maybe you don't have to necessarily swap onto different players to kind of make up for that loss later. Whereas in the opposite scenario, if you have someone that you say, okay, in the first slate, I'm going to try to get really different, and that player just fails. I mean, you are sunk like a ship. I can speak to that because that was me in weeks one and two. And so in that scenario, you have access to say, hey, my lineup is not doing well and I'm getting buried by my opponents. I have to switch onto contrarian plays later in the 4 o'clock slate to make up for it, even though entering the entire week, it wasn't on your radar to play these guys that you're swapping onto. So I think it's a good way to basically make up for a projected loss and not just throw in the towel and be like, well, you know, it was a bad week and my guys failed early, so I'm done kind of thing. And I think that, you know, looking at the data, not a lot of people are doing it. So it is one way to, I think, create an edge against our opponents, because people, when the games kick off, you know, they're done. They're making their food. They're having a couple of drinks. They're out doing yard work, whatever they're doing, they're not late swapping. So it is a way that you can kind of get contrarian and definitely, I think, have a leg up on the field.
Yeah, and last week's slate, you could have switched on to Derrick Henry. I know that's hindsight analysis, but you also could have gotten off Justin Herbert because you knew he was super popular. I know in FanDuel and cash, he was 40%, even though you would have had access to that early morning and said, okay, if you didn't have Cooper Kupp in the morning part, or in those early games, then you could say, all right, well, I need somebody to take me over the top. And maybe Herbert, Allen, Lamb, which was like the common lineup construction, wasn't worth it. And so you and I moved off of that, and it almost got you there. I was way too far buried because of Alvin Kamara. But think about this. You have access to how many points you have in your lineup. You also have access to how much points per position. So last week, you look at the running backs in the morning slate, it was like, okay, Devin Singletary was coming out pretty good. Like, it was actually not a ton of dudes. Like, Najee did all right. Kamara failed. So then you could say to yourself, there are running backs out there that could totally outscore so many other people. You know Derrick Henry's one of those, but there's a plethora of other people that you could jump on and say, I want to take advantage of those guys. And then you also have access to roster percentages. You can see in the morning, like, wow, there are a lot of people that played this quarterback. There are a lot of people that played this wide receiver. Maybe my wide receiver won't be as chalky as I think. And so realize that. And the last thing I'll mention is leave your flex spot open. We talk about that all the time for redraft. Like, don't play your guys on Thursday night in the flex. It actually probably matters more in DFS because you're not thinking, is this guy going to get hurt? You're thinking, what's the best play? Do you feel like people don't realize that enough?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think we think about DFS as like, okay, I made it to Sunday. Like, we're good. I don't have to worry about the whole don't play your Thursday night players in the flex scenario. But yeah, I mean, the more you have to your disposal as far as the flex position in the late slate, the more options you're going to have. Because again, the whole theory behind late swapping is you're going on to players that maybe are less popular to help you make up ground. And, you know, obviously, if you don't have that flex spot open, you're limited to maybe just one running back or just one wide receiver, whereas you want access to all positions.
So we're going to get into our cash picks, talk about stacks, a couple mailbag questions today. Please go on iTunes, follow and review, and we'd love if you won this past weekend or if you're learning the game to leave a 5-star review. Tell us what's been helpful so far. Tell us what sucks. Tweet at us if you need to. Betts is at the Fantasy PT. I'm at Kyle_Borg. And I want to throw out a special announcement. Every week we talk about the DFS Pass, where you can get all of our articles and whatnot. But if you are a Foot Clan member, which means that you are someone that says every single month, I want to support the footballers, I want to be a part of it. We have over 17,000 people that are part of that group. I was a part of that community a long time ago. Like, pledging $5 a month was stupid to get all the rewards. But now you have access, if you're a Foot Clan member, to a Discord channel. We made it public for anybody, and you can get in there for free. But if you want access to kind of the private channels, Betts and I are a part of a DFS channel, and it is way easier for us to actually see lineups and to converse with people. I got to do that this morning. Someone was asking me about showdown lineups, and it was really easy for me to have a conversation there as opposed to Twitter, which is like, you know, my feed just gets buried in people. So I know that's something you want to do, Betts. You want to converse with, you're a man of the people.
Oh, of course. I love answering questions. But like you said, the tricky part is, like, you just get so many DMs on Twitter. And I have notifications set up my phone. I'm a sicko for like every beat reporter and Chef D and Rap Sheet. And so my phone just is so, it's blowing up on all week. So yes, I want to chat with you guys, but it's difficult on Twitter. So yeah, hop in Discord. Let's chat this weekend. We'll figure out how to take home a big tournament together.
Yeah, so you can go to jointhefoot.com if you want access to that. And that DFS channel is going to be popping. We get to post our articles and just have a good time conversing with people. If you do want the DFS pass, you can still get it for the low, low price of $29.99, especially for UDK. If you bought the UDK, you can actually upgrade to the UDK Plus, which includes now the DFS pass. Use the promo code DFSPOD, and you could save some cash on that. Speaking of cash, let's talk about it.
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. We're going to quickly go through our cash picks this week. And there's some options at quarterback that are cheap that I really like. There's a running back that I think you and I are going to throw down on and have a conversation about. But let's start off with quarterback. Who do you like this week in cash?
Yeah, the first name that sticks out to me, and we talked about this guy on our Tuesday show, it's Lamar Jackson. He's 7.K on DraftKings and 8.4 on FanDuel. Good tags on both sites. There's not much to say. I mean, they're taking on the Lions. It's in a dome. Lamar can get there either with his arm or his legs. I mean, he has almost 200 rushing yards through two games, so you know that he has that safe floor as well as the huge ceiling. The other name I'll throw out, if you want to spend up, we're not going to argue with anyone that wants to pay up for Kyler. He's expensive this week, though, especially on DraftKings. He's 8.3 over there, but the matchup could not be better against the Jaguars, so if you want to spend up for safety, totally fine. The other name that I'll bring up here, my third guy, maybe we can talk about it. Justin Fields, he is going to start for the Bears. This feels like a spot to go in on a player similar like last year to Jalen Hurts. If you recall, he was down in the 5Ks and people weren't kind of afraid to play him. What are your thoughts on him in cash? He's 5.2K. We know he can run the football. I'm kind of interested in Justin Fields because of the cheap price tag. I mean, I was building some lineups today and you can get some absolute studs at running back and wide receiver if you do play him. So that's the advantage. What are your thoughts there?
The interesting thing that I've found in our roster percentage is that Fields is going to be somebody that people want to play, like just from a fan perspective. Like he's cheap enough, like you mentioned, where you get access. But then the Browns defense that's going against him is probably one of the most popular defenses as well. So that's going to create kind of an interesting cash lineup problem where you're not going to play both. So lineups that have Cleveland are not going to have Fields and vice versa. And so I don't mind it, especially, you know, Cleveland's pass defense hasn't been great. I just think that the price, 5.2, is so low. Lamar's the best play for me. Like you mentioned on FanDuel, he's the best points per dollar value. I love rushing quarterbacks on FanDuel because the bonuses look a little different. Like Tom Brady, 300 yards, isn't going to affect you the same way that, you know, it does on DK. So I don't mind it. I just think that there's a couple of safer options. He's definitely not safe. Even though last week he had 10 rush attempts, three of them were kneel downs. So his final line is a rushing line last week for Fields was like 10 for 30. When really like, okay, well, three of those don't really count. So I don't mind it. I'm finding that Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney, who really haven't done anything yet, are super popular on the, like against Cleveland on the road. Like, am I missing something? Like that's scary.
I mean, I wrote up in the DFS pass as far as my GPP picks. I like Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson this week. And it's because of the exciting nature of, like, this is what this offense could be if Justin Fields pushes the ball downfield. I mean, Andy Dalton's average depth of target is like 4 yards. Like, it's so bad right now. And we know that Fields can push the ball. And that's where Mooney wins, right? He's leading the team in air yards. So I think people are really excited about that. I'm not sure how I'll approach that team in GPPs. But if he is going to come in lower, meaning Mooney, and Justin Fields makes sense to stack him, I'll certainly look that way in tournaments. Just depends on the roster percentage.
The Bears team implied total makes me a little scared that they're road dogs. So for me, the safer picks this week, I like Josh Allen at home, 7K. He has 84 pass attempts through two games. Like, give me the volume all day. The TD rate, the completion percentage, they're going to go up. And then I'll go back to Justin Herbert. I know that he failed a lot of people last week, but 6.5K on DraftKings. Last year against Kansas City, he had over 300 yards passing in both games and six total TDs. Like, that's going to get it done in a game that has a huge total, which we'll preview in a second. So I don't mind that. And the last name I'll throw out there, I just think Matthew Stafford is solid. I don't know if, like, he's a great play, but I think he's a solid cash game play. And on FanDuel, he's just 7.6. So who do you like at running back?
Yeah, I think we both agree right now we're loving Dalvin Cook as the first kind of plug in into your lineup type of guy. Of course, we need to see how he's doing with his ankle. I think he's going to be fine. We'll just monitor the practice reports that come out later today on Friday, but I do think he plays. And if he does play and we don't get news over the weekend that he'll be limited at all, he's 8.4K. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, he was north of $9,000. So this guy is touching the ball a ton. He's locked into a three down role. And this game environment with Seattle looks really enticing on paper.
Yeah, I thought that maybe he would come in lower because of injury concerns, but anything from an injury perspective that you're worried about?
No, not as of now. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon/evening. So as of Thursday, no real updates. But again, be sure to kind of, you know, monitor what's going on the weekend. And you can always get the injury pod, the Injury Blitz podcast for jointhefoot.com members.
So Austin Eckler, 7,200, is another great play. He's averaged 8.5 targets. against the Chiefs the last 2 years. So safe floor. And we saw last week, I mean, he had 9 targets. The week before he had 0. People were scared. Austin Eckler seems super safe. So I like Justin Herbert and Eckler. I like that Chargers side. If you want more pass catching like upside, DeAndre Swift is still only 5.8. And that's because he was on that Monday night game. So if you think that he's going to be healthy enough and you think they're going to be trailing, like it's not hard to see 7 targets come his way. He looked awesome on Monday night when he actually got the opportunity, especially in the second half. So don't mind him in that same game. Tyson Williams is the exact same price at 5.8. He's killing it in terms of yards per touch. The Lions rush defense is terrible. So I don't mind Tyson, but I think the 2 big names that I want to talk about is Derrick Henry and CEH. So let's talk about Henry real quick, because last week we loved him as a GPP play. He broke the slate. The big dog's the big dog. This week he's 8.6K on DK and he's 9.7 on FanDuel. So how are you approaching Henry?
Yeah, he's such an interesting guy this year because I never wanted to play him on DraftKings. I mean, last year, like, it's so hard to play a one-dimensional running back on a full PPR slate where you could chalk him up for like 1 target a game. The dude is on pace right now for 85 targets.
Let's go.
I mean, he has 10 through 2 games. That would smash his career high of 31 targets in a season. I'm not sure if that's going to continue, but if it is, I mean, Derrick Henry on DraftKings looks amazing. So yeah, he's 8.6K. He feels like he should be a little bit more expensive. Right now, I have him in my cash lineup because I do have Fields in there. We'll see if I change my mind. But basically, I have Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry in there, which feels awesome. The Colts, it's a good spot. I mean, they're going to be trotting out a backup quarterback or Carson Wentz with 2 sprained ankles. So it's not difficult to see Derrick Henry in a positive game script. And we know in the past, that's when he wins. So I'm talking myself into him. I really like him a lot. I'm definitely going to have some exposure to him, whether it's tournaments or cash, but I do think he's in the cashing conversation for sure.
Yeah, last year against the Colts, over 280 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, he's the big dog. So we say when he's popular, play him in cash and maybe be a little underweight in GPPs. CEH is down there at 4.8. We talked about him on the Tuesday show. We looked at salary standouts. Can you go there or are you just terrified?
I'm absolutely terrified. There's nothing positive to say about Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now other than his salary. I mean, that's the reality, right? If he was 6,000 or more, we would not even be mentioning his name right now. That's the only reason he's in play, which is really scary because this dude is not even succeeding with Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback and Andy Reid as his head coach. I mean, what is happening? So that's the narrative, right? And that tells me he's a good GPP play. If he becomes in low enough in terms of roster percentage, I'm not playing him in cash. I've made that decision already. Despite the cheap tag, I just can't do it. I'm not sure what your thoughts are, but if he is coming in less popular, maybe than we think in tournaments, I certainly am interested in that case.
I kind of like when we have these moments, if you're a listener, you're like, those people always pat each other on the back. Like, I actually like the way that I can construct my roster this week of having a running back that it's going to get 15 touches at 4.8K. Now, he might be really bad with them, like we've seen the first 2 games, but the Chargers are kind of a run funnel defense. Like, that's what they've kind of been constructed as. Antonio Gibson, first week did great. Last week, Cowboys decided they just wanted to run the ball. So I don't mind the matchup. And I know for you and I, like, we're usually like, doesn't matter. I just think that is so low. Like, that is begging me to play him. And maybe that's what it is. Like, whenever you see a value on DK, you're like, ooh, I want to play that person. So the total's definitely high enough. But last question we'll say at running back, then we can move forward. If you do play CEH in your cash game lineup, like, you can't play Eckler, right?
Probably not. And that I would much rather play Eckler. I mean, 10 times out of 10 in this scenario. I just want to real quick point out, like, you mentioned his price is low and all those things. Like, DraftKings, this man has a family. He is buried. He's the RB35 in pricing on DraftKings. The RB35, the same price as Jeremy McNichols. What is happening?
That is offensive. I feel bad for his family and anyone that's ever known Clyde. So yes, if you're playing Clyde this week and you're a family member, just play him for... let me throw out this name. I know it's gross to you, but not for people on FanDuel. Saquon Barkley is only 6,000. So he's buried on FanDuel. He's Jason's start of the week this week. So I needed to mention him because I'm a company man. He plays the Falcons. So Saquon on FanDuel, James Robinson on FanDuel. Don't mind those in cash as well. All right, wide receivers. It's probably going to be Tampa Bay and Rams guys that we put in our lineups this week. Like, do you think Chris Godwin's the easiest one to lock in because Antonio Brown's out?
Yeah, he's hovering as a cash game lock for me this week. He continues to produce, scored a touchdown last week, and DraftKings decided to drop his salary. I don't understand why, but he is 6.1K over there. And just a spoiler alert for everyone, we're going to talk about this game stack. We don't even put the running back's name on our show doc. Like, it doesn't matter because Tom Brady is dropping back to throw at an insane rate. He has the keys to the offense. And without Antonio Brown, you can presumably project more targets for both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But Godwin in the full PPR setting on DraftKings, yeah, for sure. At his price tag, I'm all in.
You can go either way with the Rams wide receivers. Obviously, Kupp has been killing it so far. He's at 6.8. But Bobby Woods is only 5.7. When you get that salary decrease, like, those two are going to come in pretty close to each other in terms of double-digit roster percentages. So right now, I think you have to decide in your cash lineup, like Kupp, Woods, or I'll mention Tyler Higbee, who's a great cash game play at only 4K. I know he let everyone down last week, but are you going to have one of those Rams in your cash lineup?
Definitely. Right now, I do have Cooper Kupp. I haven't locked that in yet, but I do think that one of those two guys is going to smash this week, or both, honestly. But yes, I'll be playing one Ram for sure in cash.
Some of the other cheaper options we like this week, Emmanuel Sanders is only 4.2. That's pretty far down there. And he's seeing a lot of targets. He's seeing a lot of deep targets. And I think Josh Allen's about to explode, but he's going to come in a lot lower. But I like Emmanuel Sanders a lot this week. And you love our boy Marv Jones.
Yeah, there's nothing negative to say about Marv. I mean, he's awesome, of course. But in all seriousness, like, he's the wide receiver 16 in redraft leagues right now. He is still south of 5,000 on DraftKings. This Jaguars team, man, they are throwing at an insane rate. It kind of reminds me a little bit, actually, of Joe Burrow last year as the rookie quarterback, where they just let him throw a ton. Trevor Lawrence dropping back a ton. They're throwing at the highest rate in the NFL when they get down by 7 points. The sports books are telling us the Cardinals are going to win by at least a touchdown. So you can project a lot of volume here, I think, for the pass catchers at Jacksonville. So yes, sign me up for Marv Jones. He continues to be underrated.
We're not going to talk about that game from a stacking perspective, but I just needed to put this out there in the ether that I like the Jaguars this week. And it's like you mentioned, like, rookie quarterback who doesn't care. He throw as many interceptions as you want. He's on pace to tie Peyton Manning right now. Like, do whatever you want and keep throwing. And it's probably going to be one of those wide receivers that hits Marv Jones. It's going to be DJ Chark. It's going to be one of the juniors. I think LaVisca is going to be the most popular this week, but I do like Marv at 4.9. And then on FanDuel, we're going to mention these guys every single week, but DK Metcalf is going to be the most popular player on FanDuel wide receiver wise, because he's still too cheap in a high over under. And Keenan Allen is only 6.9. You can't go wrong with Keenan Allen back to back 100 yard games. I feel like he's a safe cash game play and won't be nearly as popular as he was last week. All right, let's quickly blitz through tight end and defense. I mentioned Tyler Higbee at 4K. TJ Hockenson, man, his price didn't change because he was on Monday night. 5.2K, that feels super safe. This week, I'm not really looking to punt. Like, if you want to play Kelsey, you know, 8,200, do it. If you want to play Waller, do it. I don't know. Are you looking to punt?
Right now, I'm not. I have Hockenson in there. I think he's extremely underpriced for the role we've seen. And Andy, Mike, and Jason talked about this on the show earlier this week. And I'm sure this hurts your heart, Kyle, but they said, who do you want more? Do you want George Kittle or do you want TJ Hockenson? Like, that's the level of player Hockenson is right now, and his price doesn't reflect it. So I want to play him while his price is still very, very low. I do expect by the end of the year, he'll be up in the 6K range.
How dare you speak a word against my buddy George, who, if you've heard throughout the summer, my entire underdog best ball account is based on that man. So I think he's going to turn it around. He's doing fine on yards per route run.
What could go wrong?
I know. Well, please, Trey Lance, come in there and make things better. If you wanted to spend up on Darren Waller on FanDuel, I love it. And then defenses, the two most popular defenses this week that are really cheap on DK. They're just mispriced. We mentioned them on Tuesday. Tennessee at 2.4K against the duo of Brett Hundley and Jacob Eason is hilarious. Arizona is only... It's hilarious, dude, that those two guys are the dudes.
That's so mean.
Arizona 3K at Jacksonville, and then you put Cincinnati. We don't love it, but we do love the price at 2.1K. against Big Ben, who, I'll just say it, I put it in the DFS pass, he's being propped up like a Weekend at Bernie's corpse.
Oh boy. Not to mention the Peck injury and Deontay Johnson injured. Yeah, this Steelers offense looks horrible.
All right, let's talk about some stacks.
Stack attack.
So we're going to quickly profile four games that we like this week from a stacking perspective. I just think each week you get to look at the games with the high totals. And if you're asking yourself, how do I get different in a GPP? That's kind of the goal of this, is for us to kind of profile it. We're not going to go game by game. You can listen to that from a redraft perspective on the Fantasy Footballers main show. We're interested in how to get weird. So let's talk about this first game. It's the game of the week. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are actually dogs. Wait,
no,
did the line
they're favored
change?
Now. Money is coming in on the Bucs. They were underdogs to start the week. They are now a full 1.5 favorites, as opposed to originally at the beginning of the week, they were 1 point underdogs, but they're now favored.
Man, beginning of the week, you and I, when we get to look at the lines, we're like, why are they dogs right now? I know it's on the road. I know it's the Rams. It's tough, but like the way that they're playing, it's weird to see Tom Brady as a dog. So it would make sense. The money's flowing in as a 56.5 point total. That's massive. This week. So the Bucs defense carries a big name, and from a pass rush perspective, I get it. But their secondary has been eviscerated. They've given up the most completions in the league, and this is a good pace spot. So on the Rams side, how are you attacking this? Because I feel like Brady's going to come in more popular than Stafford.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even though we talk about this all the time, like if there's wide receivers or tight ends that seem like they're going to be chalky, maybe we consider the running back in this situation, but this is not one where I want to do that. I mean, the Bucs, they will stop the run. They've been struggling against the pass. So even though it seems like an obvious play, I'm willing to go there in tournaments. We talked about Cooper Kupp. We love him. Bobby Woods. We love him. Tyler Higbee. We love him. So we have to like Matthew Stafford, don't we? I mean, looking at this Bucs defense, they've allowed 400 yards to Dak and 3 touchdowns in week one. Matt Ryan went 300 and 2 touchdowns last week. Matthew Stafford is balling right now. I don't think people are going to play Matthew Stafford, despite liking Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. So I'm intrigued as a Stafford stack in tournaments with a Tampa Bay bring back.
The Rams have been consistently running in early downs, and then as they get to second down, it's been increasing. But I feel like this week, Matthew Stafford, you're going to see him throw more consistently on first down. And I mentioned on Tuesday, if we get semi like a Detroit version of Matthew Stafford, where we're getting volume, like if we get 40 pass attempts from Matthew Stafford, there's enough goodness to go around to supply at least two of these guys. So if you went Stafford and then pick two of the three pass catchers, Kupp and Higbee, or Woods and Higbee, or Kupp and Woods, like I think you can play them together. I just think they're going to be popular though. The wide receiver is going to be way more popular than Stafford. So if you go that route, how do you get different?
Yeah, you could also look actually to Van Jefferson, especially in like a large field GPP. I think he's a fine dart throw. He's dirt cheap. We saw him have the huge touchdown in week one. And, you know, this Bucs secondary is definitely giving up points to wide receivers. So I think he's a sneaky play. I wouldn't do it in small field. It would have to be a large field play. But I think the way you get different is potentially on the other side of the ball. I don't think a lot of people are talking about Gronk this week. He's a little bit more expensive. I'm not playing the running backs. I do think that Godwin and Mike Evans will be popular. But again, I don't know what your thoughts are as a dart throw. Like, would you get different and try to bring it back with like a Scotty Miller or someone like that, assuming Antonio Brown is out?
I threw out Scotty Miller's name in the GPP section. He's 4,800. I mean, I think he's going to come in super low. So that's a way to get different. I feel like there is going to be one of those pass catchers in this game, whether it's Van Jefferson. I'm just going to say DeSean Jackson's the stone man, and this is a revenge game. That's all I'm saying. I feel like one of those guys is going to catch a touchdown. So the question of this game is, does it get there? And because of the roster percentage, you really need it to get there. So if you're doing Stafford, Kupp, Higbee, Godwin, you've got a pretty chalky pass catching core. You really need that stack to hit in a way that says I have access to all of those points. So in really large fields, I would do what we were saying. Throw in a couple of guys that are a little bit lower that gives you access to points. Because I feel like they're going to be flowing in this game. Maybe it is Leonard Fournette. I don't know, but I feel like a touchdown or two are going to go in some different spots. But what do you like from a Vegas perspective?
Yeah, I gave this out on Tuesday. I said, I'm already in. I already placed the bet. I'm taking the Bucs. I got them plus one, but the line is now minus 1.5. I'll still take it. Bucks win this game.
I'll still take the Bucks too, but yeah, I would have loved to get it on plus one. All right, next one, AFC West showdown. It's our Chargers. Man, I love the Chargers. At Kansas City Chiefs, this game has a 55 over under. DraftKings Sportsbook line is Chiefs minus 6.5. And the thing about the Chiefs is we're going to talk about them almost every single week, right? Like, they're going to be in these 50 totals. We're pretty much going to profile them. So if you've heard us so far, you're like, okay, well, I kind of get the story. But the over isn't a guarantee. I looked at Mahomes, and since he became the starter in 2018, Kansas City games with a 55 or total have hit the under 5 of 8 times. So it's not a guarantee that this game just completely goes back and forth. I mentioned Herbert earlier. I think he's a great play at his price. He's gone over 300 yards both times he faced the Chiefs last year. But where do you want to start in this game?
Yeah, real quick too, just to speak to that, not to go all football guy on us here, because I know that you love the spreadsheets, Kyle, but Brandon Staley, the new head coach here for the Chargers, like, it's his defense over the years with the Rams was designed to limit big plays downfield. That's what Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce do. Like, that's what this offense is. So I'm not saying it's going to hit the under. I just think that if there is a game that is popular this weekend of these games that we're going to talk about with that 55 or higher total, this might be the one that I'm underweight on relative to the field. And it's because of that reason, combined with the fact that in his career, Mahomes, you know, efficiency numbers and his production is actually worse at home, which is kind of counterintuitive. It's like when they're on the road, they just let him do his thing. So I'm not saying negative things about these teams, but I'm just not all in the way I am with like the Bucks and Rams and a couple other games that we'll talk about. So wanted to point that out. Now, with that said, the way that we go at this conversation, Mike Williams, he is expensive again. His price is going up. Not on FanDuel. On FanDuel, his price is silly. I love him over there. But are you buying into this new role with him? Because I feel like in redraft leagues, he's a hot name. People like him. But in DFS, the early roster percentage projections that we're seeing still have him in single digits. And if that's the case, I want to play Mike Williams this week.
Yeah, on DK, it's a different conversation. Like, he's only $200 less than Keenan Allen, which is, I don't know, too silly on a full PPR site. But on FanDuel, I'm totally fine with that. He is coming in like around, like, you know, 10%+, 12%. Like, that's definitely a little too high for me because of he's a volatile player. Like, you've seen his whole career. Go back, look at Mike Williams' box scores. You're like, oh man, he doesn't show up for like months at a time sometimes. I did like that take though about being a little underweight on this game. You saw it with Brandon Staley, like Washington the first week, and then last week Cowboys. Like, those games hit the under. Those games did not, from a DFS perspective, really get you there unless you were playing Mike Williams both times. So love Austin Eckler. I think you can play him. We mentioned in cash. I just don't know in this game if this game is going to stay up there in popularity. Then this is one that I would hit the under, because you need Mahomes and Kelce to get you 75 points. You need Mahomes and Tyreek to do the same thing. Now, if there's anybody you want to bet to do it, it's these two. I mean, Mahomes, in games with 55 totals, he's averaged 3.3 passing touchdowns. Like, that's enough to go around. That's what we want. Tyreek is blown up on the road as well. So those are two things, like you mentioned, like, okay, I'd rather go maybe somewhere else. The price tags are really expensive. But I won't blame anybody if you want to go in. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's no... We're just pointing out that it's not a guarantee, but there's nothing negative to say about these guys. I mean, these are three of the best players in the NFL in general, right? But let alone at their position with Mahomes and Tyreek and Kelce. So, yeah, I mean, these guys are great. They're probably going to succeed. It's just a matter of, do they pay off their salary or not? And that's the real question mark. So, yeah, I'm not sure how I'll attack this game right now, but I definitely am interested for sure. I think Eckler is my favorite play in this entire game.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you too. We love Keenan Allen for life. He's our guy, back-to-back 100-yard games. I'll just say Travis Kelce, I think, is a better play on FanDuel if you want to go there. I looked this up. This is crazy. So in four-point passing leagues, he has as many fantasy points as Matthew Stafford, a quarterback with 600 passing yards and 5 touchdowns. Like, that's wild for a tight end to be able to say that. So we like this game, but I think we'll both come in underweight. And it is scary. Like, you never want to come underweight with Patrick Mahomes, but I think that's where we're at. Give me your Vegas pick.
Yeah, dude, the Chiefs, they don't cover the spread as much as people think. They are 8-13 against the spread going back to week one of last year. So I will take the Chargers getting 6.5 points here.
I will take the Chargers as well, plus 6.5. All right, next game is Seattle Seahawks, who we talk about every single week, at the Minnesota Vikings. This game has a 55 total. Seattle is 1.5-point road favorites. And Russell Wilson keeps doing what we want to do, but no one's playing him at the rate that we want. I actually see DK Metcalf and Lockett up there, but Wilson's just not there. So do you think a popular correlation is just going to be, I want Dalvin Cook and I'll play a wide receiver on the Seattle side and figure out where to stack, you know, Tampa Bay and Los Angeles game?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Dalvin Cook is, we think, one of the best cash game plays in the entire slate. So you can play him in tournaments, but just know he's going to be popular, assuming full health. But yeah, I mean, I'm super interested in Russ this week. I don't know what it is about. Yeah, people, I feel like, have a negative feeling about him. Maybe they don't have the same excitement as they get when they play like Mahomes or Lamar or some of those guys. But Russell Wilson in redraft leagues just put up back-to-back top nine performances. He's thrown for multiple touchdown passes in both games. He's averaging 11 yards per attempt. I mean, the efficiency right now is crazy. And you might say, well, Betts, that's probably going to regress at some point. And you're probably right, but we've seen zero signs of that slowing down. And he's just an efficient quarterback with two pass catchers that help to elevate him as well. So yeah, DK Metcalf, we like. Tyler Lockett, we like. And this Vikings secondary, man, I mean, they have just gotten shredded so far through the air. So there's a lot to like about Russell Wilson this week. If people aren't going to be playing him, I will certainly be looking his way.
I don't mind Kirk in a GPP, especially at home in a dome game. Justin Jefferson's splits last year were really extreme, where all of his touchdowns came in home games, and he hasn't really broken out. Like, he's had two drops, and I just feel like you're waiting for one of those games where he just erupts for 150, and this game goes back and forth. So Justin Jefferson is going to come in, I would say, around 10%. Adam Thielen's going to probably come in half. Like, every single week, it feels like Adam Thielen, nobody wants to play him. We know he's not as explosive, but he's still getting the same kind of targets, and we know he's a beast around the red zone. So I like him a lot. On FanDuel, where you actually have to spend up, like, he's more expensive than Jefferson. So I think he's a good GPP play. Any interest in KJ Osborne? He's 3.5 on DK.
Yeah, I think he's viable in cash. I don't really know how to handle him in tournaments because last week I said, I'm not sure he has the ceiling. And then he rips off like a 70-yard touchdown on the first play of the game. So apparently he does. But yeah, he's got 14 targets so far this season. So if you're getting, you know, 5, 6, 7 targets from a guy at 3.5K, it's hard to argue it because you don't need him to do a ton to pay off. So I like him more in cash. I'm not going to play him in tournaments, but he is a guy that you can, if you need to save salary, he's fine.
Chris Carson's an okay play on DK at 6.4. He's getting the opportunity, but I just feel like the ceiling, like, we saw it last week, he scored two touchdowns and it was okay for cash, but he was so popular, he didn't really help you last week. And he's just not a play that I'm super interested in at his price tag. If you wanted to play the tight ends and stack them in a GPP, like Russ, Gerald Everett, pick one of the wide receivers. Same thing on Minnesota side. If you want to go Kirk, Conk, and one of the wide receivers, I'm totally fine with that as well if you want to correlate. But what's your take on this game?
Yeah, I like the Seahawks here to cover the 1.5 points.
I'm going to go with Minnesota plus the points. They're at home. I think they're due for a win because both of their games, like, they easily could have won against the Bengals. Easily could have won as well against the Cardinals. So I think they break through. But I still love those Seattle stacks. Last game. Last one we're going to profile here. It is the Baltimore Ravens at the Detroit Lions. Ravens are 9-point road favorites, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. This game has a 49.5-point total. It's gone to 50. It's gone back and forth. We get to talk about the Lions, dude. A team we never, ever, ever get to talk about. We might not get to talk about them the rest of the year. So I kind of like it. But the Ravens should run all over them. The Lions ranked dead last in rush DVOA, and a guy named Aaron Jones scored 4 touchdowns against them. So it feels like the Ravens are the kind of team that Guns Mahoney, the Lions head coach, Dan Campbell, like, that's the team he wants to have.
Oh, yeah. Just run the ball on 1st and 10, 2nd and 10. You know, every time just trying to establish the heck out of the run. That's what he wants. But Little does he know, he got a gunslinger in Jared Goff back there. He leads the league in pass attempts. That is unreal through 2 weeks. I don't think anyone saw that coming, but it's because they play from behind so often. And as 9-point underdogs, that's why we're interested in DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson.
DeAndre Swift, we mentioned, is 5.8K. He has 16 targets through 2 weeks. I think he's a fine play. You just got to ask yourself, like, how much are the Lions going to be able to keep this close? Because in week one, they actually battled back against the 49ers. And then last week in the second half, they just fell flat against the Packers. So on the Lions side, other than Hockenson and Swift, are you interested in anyone else?
I am not. No, thank you.
Okay. On the Ravens side, how would you stack this up?
Yeah, this is really interesting because it feels like one of those game stacks or like game scenarios where you could see Lamar just running like crazy over these guys. You could also see Tyson Williams running like crazy over the Lions. Someone is going to succeed on the ground. And so it's tricky because I don't think I really want to stack Lamar with his running backs. I mean, the correlation probably isn't there as much as we want it to be. But if you want to get different, not many people are playing Tyson Williams. So you could do a little mini stack here with like Tyson and then bring it back with TJ Hockenson or something like that. But if you did want to play Lamar and stack him, I'm really interested in Mark Andrews this week in tournaments. His underlying usage metrics are actually really intriguing. Like he's been in his career a guy that plays like 50% of the snaps, and he is up there this year, like 80, 85% of the snaps and running a ton of routes compared to what he did last year and 2 years ago. So a big game is coming from him at some point this season. We just saw Robert Tonyan on Monday Night Football go for like 70 yards on a touchdown or something like that. So yeah, give me Mark Andrews in tournaments. I think he comes in single digits this week.
I think if you just want to look at this game and say, Lamar usually only supplies one guy. Like it's usually not you're playing Hollywood and Mark Andrews. So pick a pass catcher with Lamar. If you really want to do Lamar naked, I don't mind that. Lamar and somebody else from the Lions side. But you need this game to truly get there. You need the Lions defense just to be bad, really, really bad. And you need Jared Goff to try to get that many attempts again. So I think it's possible. I like this game in the sense of there's affordable people here. Like Tyson Williams, 5.8K. Hollywood Brown's only 5.6. Mark Andrews is super cheap. Like he's way down there because he hasn't done anything. So this is affordable. If TJ Hockenson and Andrews, like those two, you kind of figure out your combination. Like, okay, if in Lamar lineups, am I going to play Hockenson or am I going to stack him with Andrews? Like there's so many different combinations here. So the Ravens defense actually hasn't been that good either. Let's be honest, through 2 weeks. So there is options for Detroit at home to battle back. But what do you think about that line for your Vegas pick? It's Ravens -9 right now.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I feel like if I'm forced to pick, I would take the Lions just because it's a lot of points, which sounds terrifying. But my real lean here is on the over to get over 49.5 points.
I'm going to say the same thing. That feels too low and for the defenses at play. But yeah, I think I would take the Lions +9. I would not actually put money on that because I don't hate myself. All right, let's do a battle royale.
DFS Battle Royale.
So Battle Royale, every single week we go head-to-head. Right now I have a commanding 7-3 lead through 2 weeks, but Bet still has a chance to get back on track. He got into the doc first, so he's trying to establish dominance in a Google Doc, which, I mean, this is my life, people. Google Docs, spreadsheets, so he's coming into my space. let's figure out who you like as a stacking quarterback under 6K.
What's really funny about this segment is that you keep telling people that I have a chance to get back in it. It's week three, Kyle, so easy over there, buddy. It's only 7-3. I'm going to take for my stacking quarterback, we talked about it, Justin Fields. He's just so cheap, 5.2K, and I'm intrigued by Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney in tournaments.
I will take a quarterback that actually did go number one overall, not yours, even though I love Justin Fields. I'll take Trevor Lawrence, 5.5K. That is way too cheap for the amount of pass attempts and likely turnovers he's going to do. But I like the Jaguars this week, and I think a lot of people want to play Kyler. Lawrence just buried in roster percentages. So give me the attempts, and hopefully I can stomach rostering an Urban Meyer player. All right, give me a cash game running back not named Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara.
Yes, I will go with DeAndre Swift. This is a DK only play for me this week just because of his pass catching ability. I mean, he's got like what, 37 and 39 yards rushing, I think, in his two games this year. So you're not playing DeAndre Swift. What is happening? DeAndre Swift as a running back. You're playing him as a receiver, essentially. So I'll take him in a full PPR setting. I like him on DraftKings this week.
Okay, so my cop-out answer is Austin Eckler, but I feel like that's not very nice to you. You took somebody. So I'll take somebody at the exact same 5.8 price. I'll take Tyson Williams. He's been awesome on a per-touch basis. He's explosive. The Lions stink. All right, give me a cheap wide receiver under 4K. So we like a lot of guys kind of in that 4 to 5 range, but what about under 4K?
Yeah, it's pretty thin this week down that cheap, but I'll go with KJ Osborne. He's seeing targets. He's 3.5K, and the game environment with Seattle, we like a lot there with the Vikings.
I will take the Sun God. Yes, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, slot wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. This is like a deep, deep GPP dart throw. Don't tell your mama that you put this in your lineup. Like it's not a great thing, but he's 3.3K and he's seeing 73% of his routes out of the slot. Marlon Humphrey has a huge name. All right. He's been getting killed this year in the slot. And so I'll probably profile that tomorrow in my wide receiver cornerback matchups, because I think it's one you can take advantage of. And we know the Lions are going to be trailing. So he hasn't done that much this year. And I think he has a chance, deep dart throw in a GPP. All right, give me a punt tight end.
Yes, I kind of cheated on the doc. I put both the Browns tight ends. I put Austin Hooper at 3,600, as well as David Njoku at 3,500. My real answer for the contest that we're doing here, it's Austin Hooper. But I want to put out David Njoku, super sneaky punt GPP play. And the reason that I'm excited about these guys is Jarvis Landry is on injured reserve, MCL injury. We get Odell Beckham back in the lineup. It's his first game in basically a year. But Baker is targeting the tight end position at a 46% clip. Like half of his throws are going to tight end. So I'm not sure which one it's going to be. That's why I cheated, but I'll go with Austin Hooper. He's a little more proven. We've seen it before. I like both guys this week.
I will go with Travis Kelce.
You're the worst.
I will go for my punt tight end. Baby hands, Jack Doyle, 3.3K. It's gross. Jack Doyle is actually running way more routes than Mo Alie-Cox, as sad as that is for the show. He's run 56 routes so far, which is in top 10 among tight ends. He has 12 targets. Like, you compare 12 targets to a lot of other players in the league. Like, that's pretty healthy through two games. He's super cheap. So if you are doing Titans stacks and you say, you know what, I want Jack Doyle on the other side, I won't say you're crazy. It's not a super high, but we've seen games, even the playoffs last year, where Jack Doyle was way too involved in a PPR site. You could do a lot worse than that. All right. Sneaky DST.
Yeah, I put the Cardinals here. They're 3,000 against the Jaguars. This looks like a situation where there's just a lot of opportunity for turnovers because they're going to let Trevor Lawrence throw the ball a ton. And in DFS, that's what we want. We want opportunities for sacks and interceptions. And I think, you know, J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, those guys can be after him this week.
So Tennessee would be my default answer. They're going to be super popular at 2.4K. But I'll give you a less popular name, super sneaky. It's the Vikings. We mentioned how bad their defense has been. They actually have the second highest adjusted sack rate. And every once in a while, Russell Wilson just puts up some duds. I remember a couple games last year where we wanted to play him in GPPs and it just didn't work out together. So let's say that Minnesota gets the lead with Dalvin Cook. They ride him and the game hits the under. You could also see the Vikings defense come through. So that one's like super deep GPP kind of leverage pick. I love throwing those out there. They rarely work. But yeah, the Titans and the Cardinals are probably the best DSTs to do this week. All right, let's get in the mailbag.
Mailbag.
All right, if you can send in your questions to @Kyle_Borg or @TheFantasyPT, and as we mentioned earlier, our Discord channel, if you're a Foot Clan member, you can actually ask us questions and we'll respond way faster than we do on Twitter. We'd love for you guys to be a part of that, but I've got a good four pack of questions for us to wrap up this episode. First one is from Toru. He asks, how do you identify if a game is a fade because of roster percentages? Is it just an overall feel of a game that comes from experience and seeing the games? So basically he's asking, is this just some deep acquired knowledge that you and I just know?
No, it is not. I wish. Yeah, roster percentage is huge because in tournaments, you know, even if a game looks great on paper, if everyone's playing it, there's just past a downside that you can kind of get away from. So that's the first place that I look. And then the second place, like kind of we talked about with the Chiefs, like has it gone south before, you know, in the past? Is there a defensive matchup that could lead you one way or another? Are the home road splits different? So those kind of things. But yeah, roster percentage for me is the first place I go. I'm not sure what your thoughts are, Kyle, but that's where I look first.
Yeah, it's when you start adding up those roster percentages. So quarterback's a flat position, you know, usually like the most popular quarterback's going to be 10+%, 13, something around there. But when you start adding it up with his pass catchers, that's when you start to figure out if a game is popular. So we mentioned last week, I think it was a perfect example, Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, CeeDee Lamb last week. Like, that was the easy combo because of the way their salaries were. And when you added that up in your roster percentage, you were getting close to 50% in three players, which is not great. Like, when we talk about roster percentages for a GPP, we want you to stay in that 100 to 120% range. And you start getting a lineup that's that popular, you have no leverage on the rest of, you know, the field. And so fade is a term we use. It's scary. And it's also not something that, like, we would say, just fade this game and fade that game. We tend to say, Betts and I try to say, like, I'll be underweight on this because every game has a chance to hit. This is football. Like, anytime, like, any game can be volatile, it can hit the over. But you got to ask yourself a question in terms of game theory. Is it better if I just X a game out? Like, imagine if you would have X'd out last week Dallas and the Chargers. Like, that would have been a great move. But looking at it from a, you know, just a total perspective and salaries, like, no, that would have been very dumb. But from a game theory perspective, it was so popular that it wasn't a bad thing just to completely X out. All right. Next question is from at Mr. Lowballer. He said, for beginners, should I be playing double ups and 50-50s with a few people or with thousands? Also, in cash in or GPP, is it better to spend up on wide receivers and running backs and go cheap on the other positions?
This is a deep question. There's lots of things to digest here. In double ups and 50-50s, you want to play against thousands of people because what you're doing is basically you're saying, I have more opponents that I think are going to make silly decisions and play some bad cash lineups. And we talk about that. The single entry double ups on both FanDuel and DraftKings especially, like, there's, you know, 5,000 plus people in those sometimes. And basically all you have to do is say, I need to be better than 2,500 people this week. And it sounds scary, but there's a lot of people making silly mistakes. And so when you have a larger group that you're playing against, that you just have to hit that cash line, it makes it a little bit easier. So I think that's a great place to go to build your bankroll. And then as far as the other question here, spending up on wide receivers, running backs, the research that I did this past offseason, it's in the DFS Pass. You can check it out, about how to attack the running back position and the wide receiver position. Basically, the idea was that, you know, people are getting to massive ceiling performances in tournaments with these high-priced quarterbacks because they have such huge rushing production and they can add, obviously, with their arm. And so as a result, we want their stacking partners with wide receivers. And actually, like, the average salary for winning tournament lineups was somewhere in like the 5,500 to 6,500 range on DraftKings. So it's not that you can't play the chalk, you know, good running backs. Certainly you can, but in the large field tournaments, it actually seems to be a little bit more advantageous to go down a tier or two at running back and spend up at wide receiver as a very, very general rule of thumb. But again, that's not any hard and fast advice. And it obviously depends on the slate and each player's matchup and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you obviously want the touches, and that's why Dalvin Cook is Derrick Henry. Like, they're going to be priced that way. But also, if they don't get there, and when we say get there, if they don't 4X, 5X their salary, so if someone's $8,000, they don't get you 40 points in a GPP, then you're kind of behind the eight ball. Now, actually, running back scores have been pretty low so far this year. Like, Christian McCaffrey's been getting there, but like with 27 points. So I think what's important in this question is when you're constructing your lineup and you're asking, am I spending up on wide receivers? Wide receivers are all over the place. Are you spending up on wide receiver to get different? You know, if there's a cheap wide receiver that everybody's playing and the more expensive one on that team is just not being played as much, you know, play the expensive one. Like this week, I bet KJ Osborne is going to almost double Adam Thielen's roster percentage. Well, who's a more talented wide receiver? Who have we seen in the red zone Kirk Cousins use more? It's Thielen. So that's a case where you go, okay, I want to use the leverage of people playing a cheap wide receiver and get different in my roster construction. All right, two more questions. This one is from at Bobby. Bobby P said, last week it seemed like ownership or roster percentage, whichever way you want to call it, shifted slightly in the afternoon games as people late swap, like we mentioned. Is it safe to say that the field is getting smarter? And if so, how do we create an edge when everyone is playing their lineups the same way?
Yes, this is why roster percentage is so important. That is the edge in tournaments. That's it right there. Everyone knows Dalvin Cook is a good play. Everyone knows Derrick Henry is a good play most weeks. But what you do is you look at, okay, here's our roster projection in the DFS pass. here's where we think the field is going to play. And then you look for players that are either similarly projected at the same price tag and you go and you make a swap, or you build differently, right? For example, last week, it kind of felt like the chalk build was, you know, you get like Najee and you get someone else that's kind of around that range. And then you spend up on like Cooper Kupp and you spend up on these wide receivers from Los Angeles, excuse me, and
what?
Dallas. I know, sorry, Kyle. And then, you know, it makes the same roster construction for everyone. So if that hits, great, but you're not beating other people. You're actually just moving with the field and you don't actually get ahead. So to get different, use roster percentages. And I disagree. I don't think people are late swapping very much at all, honestly. So it's still something that I look to do.
Yeah, I don't think late swap is being used as much, but if I had to give a short history lesson, I do think the field is getting smarter because I think there's more information and more sites that are just devoted to DFS than it was 5 years ago or even longer than that. But let's just go with 5 years. Also, I think the field is getting smarter of like what's optimal and what doesn't help. So stacking, you may hear us talk about stacking in GPPs. We have a whole section in this podcast talking about stacking. We have strategy articles. 5 years ago, not everyone was stacking all the time. But now you look at a tournament, it's like, well, if somebody's going to play Justin Herbert, they're probably going to bring it back with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. And in my head, I'm also thinking, what chief are they going to attach with that? So it is more common. I think that's a good thing. It's more challenging, but it also allows you to say, okay, how do I get even more different than the rest of the field? So you don't want to go full galaxy brain and get completely away from stacking. It makes sense, but it's more looking at the games as a whole and say, which game is going to hit the under or has a chance to hit the under and which game can I stack and get different? So that's why I like Minnesota this week. Cousins, Jefferson, Osborne, Cousins, Thielen, Conklin, like that combination is going to get you off Dalvin Cook. Or maybe you want to go Cousins, Cook, Thielen. I don't think people will want to play that combo together. So anything you want to say just about stacking in general, because it's common, but still people aren't doing it enough.
Right, for sure. And I think that the data looking back to last year showed that people are stacking, but they aren't double stacking enough, actually. And so that is one other way to create an edge. The top, you know, when you're playing in tournaments, you're not trying to come in 50th place. You're trying to come in the top 10, top five first, right? Ricky Bobby, if you're not first or last, those top heavy payouts are what you're going for. And to hit ceiling to get correlation, we actually have found that double stacking is better. So what that refers to is a quarterback and then two of his pass catchers or two teammates and not just one. And the field is playing one more than two. So to create correlation and a little bit more edge, you can always go with double stacking as well.
All right. So this last question will, you know, tie in perfectly. It's from Joshua at Josh Balls DFS. Great name, dude. How important is it to factor in ownership or roster percentage for a stack as opposed to a single player? How beneficial is it to pivot to a lower rostered stack, or should we just be making our stack unique?
Yeah, this is a really good question. And I think the roster percentage is super important when considering a stack as a whole, in addition to the single player that's involved. So for example, last week, like if you wanted to stack the Chargers, which were chalk, that's fine. You could have done it differently though, right? Like you could have played Keenan Allen and Mike Williams together, which not a lot of people are doing. So you can get different with popular stacks and still keep the roster percentage relatively low. But the other thing to consider as well with unique stacking is that you want to consider what the cost is, right? So like, for example, the Chiefs, it's so tough because Mahomes and Tyreek and Kelsey, they're just so expensive. So they have to hit a top range of outcomes for that entire stack to pay off. Whereas like if you stacked Kyler with DeAndre Hopkins and someone like in the first 2 weeks, Rondale Moore was like, I don't even remember what he was like $4,000 or something. His stack cost relative to his salary is lower, and so you don't need it to be perfect to pay off, so to speak. So I think value is important, but of course, roster percentage means a lot as well.
If the stack gets there, so let's use Stafford and Kupp. Like everyone loves Kupp. It's going to be, you know, pretty high in terms of roster percentages, Higbee, any of that. Let's say you did Stafford, Kupp, Higbee this week. You say, I love that group. They eat breakfast together. They're bros. You have to ask at running back, where am I going to get different? Because I would say a Stafford Cup, and then maybe let's say you run it back with Godwin, and then you add Dalvin Cook. Right there, you have one of the most popular running backs, you have two of the most popular wide receivers, and you have Stafford who's going to come in probably fifth or something. Like, right there, you have to ask yourself, if I'm going to play those four together, I need to get real different somewhere else. Or if I come in with a stack that's a little bit lower, like let's say you're doing Cousins, Jefferson, then your roster percentage is coming in way lower and you don't have to get as different. Like you can actually, you know, stay somewhere in the middle, but there are running backs that each week come in way lower that have similar ceilings. Like we didn't even mention Nick Chubb this week, but every single week, Nick Chubb can come in and be a top three running back. This week, his salary dropped a little bit, especially on FanDuel, where I think he's great. Jonathan Taylor's another one of those players. Like, okay, well, instead of playing Henry like the field, I'm going to play Jonathan Taylor, and I can still keep that really, you know, chalky stack. So it's basically just looking at your stack and saying, okay, with the rest of my roster, how can I get different and get a weird defense in there? You know, do something that allows you to at least be a little different than the rest of the crew. All right, last segment.
Fantasy Face-Off, presented by DraftKings.
You can go to ballersdfs.com and you get to play with us each week on DraftKings. Last week, I wanted to point out one of those. It was the Tourney C winner. So I open up a Tourney A, there's Tourney B, C, D. They're all the same. It's just I had to figure out a way to distinguish them. But I wanted to point out this winning lineup. It was from J.P. Bielke. And I wanted to point out this lineup because last week he won our tournament and he did not have Derrick Henry. So how did he get their bets without having the big dog?
Yeah, this is why I like small field tournaments, is because you don't have to be perfect to win, as this person did as well, which is a great lineup and congratulations. Not thrilled about him taking our money, but congratulations nonetheless. The way he got there is correlation. So the lineup is as follows: Kyler Murray, Alvin Kamara, Darrell Henderson, Justin Jefferson, Rondale Moore, Cooper Kupp, Noah Fant, KJ Osborne, and the Jets defense. What really matters here is the correlation with the Minnesota and Arizona game stack, right? He went Kyler, stacked him with Rondale Moore to get a lot of correlation there at a lower roster percentage, and then brought it back with not one, but two on the Minnesota side. Justin Jefferson, 2% rostered. KJ Osborne, 4% rostered. So yeah, it's a great lineup. And this is why small field tournaments are my preference, because you don't have to be perfect to win.
Yep. And he had Cooper Kupp in there, in case you're like, wait a second, like how did he get all those points? Like he still got some raw points from someone like Kupp, who was popular. Noah Fant was 18% of super popular. And he was actually able to overcome Alvin Kamara. Now, let me just ask this, Betts. Do you think that our listeners, they listen to our show and in our tournaments, the players that we like come in higher? I've been wondering that so much.
I would assume so. I don't know. Go check what DK Metcalf's roster percentage was, and that looks like the answer, because I've been playing him every week.
It's interesting because just so you know, like we get to play in these with you. It's sad when we're like coming, you know, really low or whatever. But often I'm like, okay, do I need to think of a player that I have not mentioned at all on the air and play them just so that people, I can get different? So it's a fun little game that we get to play. Hopefully you get to be a part of more of those contests. We'll be releasing them on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to keep opening up more and more contests. So make sure you have those notifications on from DraftKings. Great way to invite your friends and be a part of some of those contests. So Betts, any parting words for the people?
I'm excited about week three. I think someone's going to win a lot of money this weekend. Hopefully it's us, but don't forget, hop in Discord, go get the DFS pass. Good luck in week three. We will see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at www.thefantasyfootballers.com.